In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, Holy Mother Church is calling us to contemplate during the next 2 weeks, these 2 weeks, which we begin today, of Passiontide, Him who is the object of all of our love and all of our sadness. But our Mother, the Church, asks something more of us than just compassion and tears. She would have us profit by the lessons we are to be taught by the passion and death of our Redeemer. He himself, when going up to Calvary, said to the holy women who had the courage to show their compassion even before his very executioners, "Weep not over me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." It was not that he refused the tribute of their tears, for he was pleased with this proof of their affection, but it was his love for them that made him say this. He desired, above all, to see them appreciate the importance of what they were witnessing and learn from it how inexorable is God's justice against sin. The pervading character of the prayers and rites of these coming 2 weeks is a profound grief at seeing the Just One persecuted by his enemies, even to death, and an energetic indignation against the criminals who put him to death. The formulas expressive of these two feelings are, for the most part, taken from David and the prophets. Here it is our Savior himself disclosing to us the anguish of his soul. There it is the Church pronouncing the most terrible anathemas upon the executioners of Jesus. The chastisement that is to befall the Jewish nation is prophesied in all its frightful details, and on the last 3 days, we will hear the prophet Jeremiah uttering his lamentations over the faithless city. The Church does not aim at exciting idle sentiment. What she principally seeks is to impress the hearts of her children with a salutary fear. If Jerusalem's crime strikes them with horror, and if they feel that they have partaken in her sin, their tears, our tears, will flow in abundance. The Church knows how hard the heart of man is, and how to make him resolve on a thorough conversion. He must first be made to fear. For this reason, she puts before us those awful imprecations which the prophets, speaking in the person of Christ, pronounced against them, that those who put our Lord to death. These prophetic anathemas were literally fulfilled against the stubborn Jews. They teach us what the Christian also must expect if, as the apostle so forcibly expresses it, we were to again crucify the Son of God. For if by our sins we have made ourselves guilty of the death of the Son of God, it is equally true that the blood which flowed from his sacred wounds has the power to cleanse us from the guilt of our crime. The justice of our Heavenly Father cannot be appeased save by the shedding of this precious blood, and the mercy of this same Father wills that it be spent for our ransom. The cruelty of our Lord's executioners has made 5 wounds in his sacred body, and from these there flow 5 sources of salvation, which purify the world and restore within each one of us the image of God which sin had destroyed. Listen to the apostle, St. Paul. You are bought at a great price. And what is this price? St. Peter, the prince of the apostles, explains it. Know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb unspotted and undefiled. If he shed his blood for us, he willed to do so upon no other instrument than the cross. So our deepest veneration must now be directed to the cross, the altar upon which our incomparable victim is immolated. Twice during the course of the year, that is, on the feasts of the finding and of the exaltation of the Holy Cross, the sacred wood will be offered to us that we may honor it as the trophy of our Lord's victory. But now it speaks to us of his sufferings. It brings with it no other idea but that of his humiliation. God had said in the ancient covenant, "Accursed is he that hangeth on a tree," in the 21st chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Passion Tide also fixes our eyes on the Mother of God, no less than her divine Son. Let us now, by our prayer and sacrifices, console the Blessed Mother, who suffered an anguish that no other heart could feel, because no other creature could love him as she did. The heart of this mother was pierced through with a sword of sorrow. Let us draw close to her when her son, a few minutes before his death, shall consign us to her fond care. And our Lord, a bruised and mangled corpse, stiffened by the cold of death, this is all that remains to us of that Son of Man whose first coming into the world caused us such joy. The Son of the Eternal Father was not satisfied with emptying himself and taking the form of a servant. This, his being born in the flesh, was just the beginning of his sacrifice. His love was to lead him even unto death, the death of the cross. He foresaw that he would not win our love save at the price of such a generous immolation, and his heart hesitated not to make it. Let us therefore love God, says St. John, because God loved us first. This is the end the Church proposes to herself by the celebration of these solemn anniversaries. We owe this return to him who made himself a victim for our sake, and who, up to the very last moment, instead of pronouncing against us the curse we so justly deserved, prayed and obtained for us mercy and grace. He is one day to reappear on the clouds of heaven. And as the prophet says, men shall look upon him whom they have pierced. May God grant that we may be of the number of those who, having made amends by their love for the crimes they have committed against the divine Lamb, will then find confidence at the sight of his wounds. Let us hope that by God's mercy, the holy time we are now entering upon will work such a happy change in us that on the day of judgment, we may confidently fix our eyes on him whom we are now about to contemplate crucified by the hands of sinners. The death of our Jesus puts the whole of nature in commotion. The midday sun is darkened, the earth shaken to its very foundation. The rocks are split. May it be that our hearts, too, be moved and pass from indifference to fear, and from fear to hope, and finally from hope to love, so that having gone down with our crucified one to the very depths of sorrow, we may deserve to rise again with him unto light and joy, beaming with the brightness of the resurrection, and having within ourselves the pledge of a new life, which shall then die no more. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.